Hello and thank you for listening to episode 54 of 60 Minutes With. I'm Dave, and sat next to me in the same room is Tina.
I am.
And we're joined by a small doggy who you may or may not hear in the background.
Little dog.
During this introduction. So this is another of our SOS shows.
What does SOS stand for?
It's got a triple meaning. I remember on the first one I said it had got a double meaning of, you know, the international cry for help, which is SOS, Save Our Souls. And then you saying whenever I picked a film or what we're going to watch, some old shit.
That's the true meaning of SOS, isn't it?
But there's a third meaning too, remember, because the films have come from what you dubbed my Shelves of Shame.
Oh, no, I think it was Shelves of Shit.
Shelves of Shit.
Not Shelves of Shame.
So the purpose of these is I pick a movie from my Shelves of Shame.
Which is a bit unfair, really.
And try to convince you that even though they were like 25p tops from CX, that it was some money well spent.
Yeah.
The previous one being, it was Bloodsucking Freaks, which... I think that says it all.
Yeah.
So we've just watched the trailer for Made in 99, released direct-to-video in 2000.
Oh, just direct-to-video?
Direct-to-video.
It didn't get a cinema release. Oh, golly, I wonder why.
Despite Michael Paré being in it.
Michael Paré. Has he ever been in a good film? Maybe one?
Streets of Fire.
Yeah, that's the one.
So, you've
and
just
what
watched
else?
The trailer.
Name another
you don't,
film that
if you've been in Streets of Fire, you don't need to be in another film.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Once you've seen Willem Dafoe, in those high-waisted sort
leather.
Of... yeah. If only pant. You could see me, I'm doing the...
The pant thing.
The pant thing, yeah.
So what did you think? You've just seen the trailer then. What did you
reckon? I'm just trying to think of how many swear words I could use, really. It looked like a fetid tub of shit.
Don't hold back. See, the reason I picked it is the last thingy show, spotlight show you did with Chris and Ramrod.
Yeah.
You talked about Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Classic, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Science fiction movie. Tonight we're going to watch, after Space Fury, we're going to re-watch Independence Day before going to the IMAX cinema tomorrow to watch the sequel to Independence Day. So why not slot in another sci-fi movie?
That's sort of similar to Independence Day stroke...
Event Horizon.
Event Horizon, because they're stuck on a space station.
Yeah.
Is it?
And somebody goes bonkers.
Really? And who is it who goes bonkers? Do you think it's Michael Paré?
It
or that's just the way he acts in all his
it
films? Block of wood or totally over the top?
No, I'm sure he'll be brilliant in this.
Yeah, looks Oscar. Oh, God, help me. I have to say, though, watching the little trailer that we watched just then, the fight scenes look amazing.
Yeah, I think we're in for a treat.
Amazing, and the CG effects are just completely, I can't even think of a word. I can't think, can you think of a word?
Yeah.
That watching the, what's it called? The space shuttle.
Yeah.
Only it's the wrong shape, and it had got Russian writing on it. Have Russians got space shuttles? They probably have.
Yeah.
Sort of trying to dock into that
it's an,
donut thing.
Yeah, but you've got an international space station. You've
but
got
it looked
terrorists
like somebody had,
on Earth.
Somebody had coloured in on a piece of transparent, like, you know, and just like slid it across. Here it comes. It's going to dock into the donut. It's a real donut, not a space. Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're going to watch it. We're going to watch it. Yeah. So what we'll do.
And it gave a key plot point away as well. Didn't it say something like, and the enemy who is a secret? And then it just, the camera just goes on this, the sexy woman. And you see her tits as well.
Well, no, she got a bra on.
You still, yeah, but, you know, that's neither here nor there,
so,
is it?
So, you know, the question is, does she take a bra off? Do all the world leaders, because we saw the meeting that they got, do they constantly sit in the dark where you can't see anything else around the
one
table?
One of them looked like he was doing a poo. When it first started, do you,
maybe that's why it's dark.
I think it was supposed to be Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah,
and he was sort of going like that.
Well, he's shitting himself because, you know, all that crap's going up.
Because Michael Paré's acting in space.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it.
It's too late. We're going to do it.
I don't.
No,
what,
we're going to do
now?
It now. We're going to do it now. What we're going to do is what
I've got a headache.
We did in the last one. We're going to leave the listeners with the trailer while we go and watch the movie. And
tell
we
you
will
what,
be back.
Tell you what, right? Right. Tell you what, Dave.
Go on.
How about I give you the best blowjob you've ever had in your life and we don't have to watch it?
How about you could do that while we watch it if you want.
Fuck off.
Let's go and watch it.
I don't want to.
The Tesla Space Station. Modern man's greatest achievement. Orbiting high above the Earth, it is the most advanced research facility in the universe. In the hands of its international crew, it houses hundreds of experiments designed to benefit mankind.
Yo, Doc, what kind of work you doing?
Background radiation.
Sounds dangerous.
Terrorists on Earth want to destroy it.
If we don't meet their demands, they plan on slowing the orbit of Tesla Station until it falls to the Earth.
A traitor on board threatens to take control. As world leaders argue over what to do, the fate of all mankind hangs in the balance.
And that is why you chose to fire an anti-ballistic missile at a civilian space station with an international crew.
Completely off the air.
They're in such a hurry to get back to their camp.
Well, we've just watched it. The excitement on your face is just palpable.
It's been a funny day today, though, hasn't it, really? And that's just the icing on the cake.
What a way to end the day. We've still got Independence Day to look forward to.
Yeah, we've got that to look forward to, yeah. But it has been a really strange day, which sort of has made me in a bit of a weird mood. I should explain, I suppose. Today was the day that the UK had the referendum. Well, it was yesterday, actually, whether or not to stay in Europe or leave, and we voted to leave. I wasn't one of them. I voted to stay in, and I've been very upset about it all day, which didn't make viewing that film very easy for me, because I feel a bit cross today.
Considering this is the first time that we've recorded sat next to each other, so I could expect like a right hook across the chops halfway through. If no. Listeners just hear, oh! And then that's it. It's the end of the show.
No need to spank yourself, darling.
Yeah. I'm going to start by reading the blurb on the back of the DVD.
Okay.
Just so people get an idea of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
It is currently a 2.4 on IMDb.
Is that all?
A majestic 2.4. From 299 reviews.
You could be number 300.
I could be, yeah. I should give it a review. It'd be more than 2.4. Anyway, Space Fury. While attempting to dock their spacecraft, two American astronauts collide with a Russian space station. Meanwhile, in Russia, a murdered prostitute is found, and it soon becomes apparent that one of the American astronauts may be the killer, revealing a terrorist plot to sabotage the space station and send it hurtling back to Earth. Now, all that stands in the killer's way is Renée, a female astronaut forced to fight for her life and the lives of those on board.
Renée.
Obviously, an hello reference, just in case anybody abroad maybe didn't get it. 1980s British sitcom. If anybody's called Renée, I obviously, every time it's like...
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Renée.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, this is mostly a four-parter as far as the actors go. It's Michael Paré as Conrad, Lisa Bingley as Renée, Tony Curtis Blondell as Max, and Nenad Petrovic as Yuri.
Yeah.
I want to mention the director. I want to mention two people first.
Hang on a minute. No, you carry on. I'm just going to start drinking heavily. That's before it.
The director, Eli Nekakov? I don't know.
It could be Nekakov.
Necromantic.
Nechakov?
His filmography, as far as being a director, this was his third and final gig as a director back in 99. He squeaks out a film in 88 called The Mutagen. Obviously, that was so shit that he didn't direct for another 11 years. So then he must have thought, right, I've got another directing gig with Shepherd 2 in 99. Before anybody sort of finds out again, I'm really shit.
I wonder what it's about.
I'm going to do two films in the same year. So he did Shepherd 2 and Space Fury in 99.
What's Shepherd 2 about?
It's the sequel to Shepherd. It's about this guy in a field with lots of sheep.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or it could be and some sort of Christian film.
And he goes, come here.
Sniff the dog. Does he?
And now the dog's walked in the room. Mm. Yeah. He does that. And then everybody figured for the second time that he's a shit director, and that's it. He's never worked as a director again.
I wonder if The Shepherd was Welsh.
That would be pretty good. A Welsh action film about a shepherd.
Yeah. It would be herding good, though, sheep. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mutant sheep.
Gareth Bale could star in it, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Gareth Bale's a famous footballer in Wales.
So add to the fact that you've got a director who's doing only his third and final gig as a director, and in second billing in the cast, you've got Lisa Bingley as...
Renee!
This was her first acting gig.
Yeah.
In 99. Followed... 6 years later, in 2005, by a brief appearance in one episode of a TV show called 1-800-MISSING, and that was it. She was done and dusted as an actress.
Yeah, Lisa Bingley.
Yeah.
Fare thee well.
The never-forgotten Lisa Bingley.
Never-forgotten. We've seen her boobs.
Yeah, and we'll get on to that.
You'd like to get on to
it. She got the extra $50 for that one scene. Anyway, shall we begin? And let people know all about this... All about this epic.
Did you understand any of it?
No, I was thinking, with Alien, sort of the tagline was be afraid, be very afraid.
Yeah.
I think the tagline
no one in space, no one can hear you scream. I bet they could hear me.
Oh, no, it's the fly.
Scream.
Sorry, the fly, be afraid, be very afraid.
Yeah,
not Alien.
It's Alien, yeah.
This should be confused, be very confused.
Be confused. Be confused over the acting, specifically the accents, because Anna is a foreign, she has to know, isn't she?
Who talks with American accent.
She's got no accent whatsoever.
Yeah. But Yuri.
Yuri.
No, it's not Yuri. It's Igor, isn't it? Who's...
Yeah, no. That's another thing as well. Igor. They call him Igor all the way through the film. I thought it was Igor. Am I just thinking of Marty Feldman?
Yeah,
it
depends if you've seen Young Frankenstein or
Young
not.
Frankenstein.
Steen. But the best accent is Marshall Popov, whose Russian accent consists of replacing a W with a V.
Yeah. Anything do a bit of it.
Okay. I want a bank, he would say.
You want to go to the bank?
No.
Could you tell me where the nearest wank is?
Vank. No, but that's all his Russian accent. Right?
Oh, a wank!
But it's a W with a V. It's not that difficult.
Well, that's a bit rude,
well,
isn't
that's
it?
That's what it was like.
Do
it,
Russian
it was...
men masturbate?
No, they vank instead.
Oh, it's a vank. Yeah, with the vodka.
Yes, vodka.
Vodka.
If it's going to pronounce, if they're going to mix a W with a V, it's going to be the other way.
Okay.
Okay.
Racist.
So,
racist, though.
Title sequence. CG. Would be computer graphics. Probably more apt that it's called crap graphics.
Yeah.
Bit lame. Would be impressive if it was sort of the pre-rendered sequence to a Nintendo 64 game.
It did look like a game, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
They probably did that there. It's on the cheap. So good, in fact, this title sequence is, as you're flying through the galaxy and going past all of the different planets, that come the end of the movie, no spoilers here, is that full sequence, did you notice, was played in reverse?
I didn't, because I'd lost the will to live by the end of the film,
darling. It was so good, they had to play it again, but in reverse.
There was quite a few bits of, oh, haven't I just seen this before in it, though, wasn't
One
there?
Particular shot of Michael Paré walking through the space station, rubbing his belly.
Rubbing his belly. Now, rubbing his belly, right? So here's a question for some of the men listening to this. Some men are polite and don't fart in front of their girlfriend, stroke partner, stroke wife. But, you know, when you've lived together for years and you feel comfortable with each other, you do fart in front of each other, don't you? So Dave has this thing, don't you, Dave?
Do I?
That, yeah, Dave has this thing where sometimes he just farts. And then sometimes when he knows it's going to be a hot fart.
Hot?
A hot fart, you know, it burns your bum when it comes out. The sort of hot fart, like a stinky egg fart. You always rub your belly, like Michael Paré did. And you always go, oh, I've got a bit of wind. And you go, but you're rubbing your belly like this at the same time.
So you're saying that Michael Paré was going to do a space stinky egg fart?
He was going to do, yeah, basically. I think he was walking around that spaceship going, and stenching the place out.
And that's how he was killing people. Oh, we've given it away. Given it away.
That's naughty.
We've got the Tesla International Space Station.
Oh, called after the band?
Yeah. That was called, the band that was called after a video game.
Yeah, Tesla, yeah, great
if
band.
If you listen to Bad Cop Show.
Yeah, yeah, video.
And their appearance on Trivia Geeks.
What? It was,
and the
what?
Trivia Geeks. The Trivia Geeks.
Yeah.
Who thought Tesla the band was called after a video game.
They'd never heard of Nikolai Tesla.
No, apparently not.
Oh, thick shits.
Yes. So.
Oops, sorry, I didn't mean that. Did you ever want to go on their podcast? You're what? Really clever. Did
what, the
you
Trivia
ever...
Geeks?
Yeah.
No.
Are they
no.
American?
It's finished because Dave and Jerry put them in the place from Bad Cop, Bad
Oh,
Cop
did
show,
they? That's
so
all right, then.
Fine. It starts confusing already. So you've got the Tesla space station, and you see this space shuttle going towards it, but then it's cutting between ground control, a space shuttle, Michael Paré and Max, who's this,
Michael Jordan,
who's
was
this,
it Michael Jackson,
who's the celebrity?
Yeah, but they don't make that clear. It's just, it's like Michael Paré's being all serious, driving the space shuttle. And then there's this black dude sitting next to him. He's like, really? Like, I don't know.
Well, there is a lot of, like,
borderline
racism in it.
It was about halfway through the film that I realised that he wasn't actually an astronaut. I just thought he was, like,
he
the,
was there for
the token black man with no specific part.
Well, he was, in a way. And especially when, I'm going to bring up one line that he says. But there are a few sort of borderline racist bits in it because he's the token black guy in it. And he's the celebrity in it. But when you see the space station going towards the Tesla, the shuttle going towards the Tesla space station, and it's cutting between Michael Paré and Max and Yuri and René. But Yuri and René are in the space station, but you think they're in another shuttle because it shows two shuttles docking. Because, oh my God, the dog's going mad. What happens is, in ground control on their computer screens, you see the space.
It's backing up.
The
isn't
space
it?
Station is within inches. The shuttle is within inches of the space station.
I think you
station.
Need to draw them a diagram.
No, I should. I should put it on the no. It's backing for, and then it cuts to the actual space shuttle, and it's going forwards, and it's a mile away.
Yeah.
Then the space shuttle with
are you drunk? You can't
speak. No, it's so confusing. With Conrad and Max on it, crash into the Tesla, which apparently René had something to do with that you find out later, but it's not obvious when it's happening.
No.
So the space shuttle that they're in crashes into the Tesla and smashes it to bits. It's loads of bits fly off it. It says the shuttle loses two fuel containers and a freight module, and all that goes, like, burns up into space.
You actually wrote that down.
Yeah, I did. It's called being professional.
Oh, right. Fuck.
But then, so they've crashed into it, and there's all bits flying everywhere. Then it cuts to René and Yuri in the space station, looking through the window, and waving to them and smiling.
Hello.
Hello, how are you? you?
Hello.
No mention of you've just smashed the fucking thing to bits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come in.
Would you confront Michael Paré, though?
No.
No. Would you go, oh, what the fuck were you doing? You fucking backed into my space station.
This is where it gets confusing, though, because, okay, so they've crashed into it, and Yuri and Renee are on the space station, but then you see a second space shuttle dock properly.
Yeah, that's...
What's all that about?
Yeah, that is... There's only one space shuttle, and it's you having half a bottle of wine
before... No, there's two... You see two space shuttles.
No, you don't. It's the same space shuttle, but they just, like, cocked it all up, didn't they? They were like, oh, let's back it up. Oh, no, let's turn it round. Whoever made it just didn't give a shit, basically.
The editing is awful.
Yeah.
So... This is the first sort of borderline racism bit, because Max, I don't know if you noticed this, when Conrad and Max go on board and they see that it's Renee and Yuri there and that Max is the only person of colour that is on board.
Yeah.
He says, a lot of white bread in here, time for some toast.
Dave, I missed that completely. I thought he wanted a piece of toast. I'm not joking.
That's what he said. Really, the only way it could have been any worse.
Oh, he's been in space for ages.
Is if
hungry.
He'd have said, time for some burnt toast. Is the only way they could have made it worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a few little things like that.
Yeah.
Cut to Moscow on Earth and a prostitute has been murdered.
Yeah, it's down a dark alley, isn't it?
Sliced open.
So, was she?
She got a chest cut open. There's
saw a bit of blood, but I wasn't really.
And apparently, because one of the cops that is investigating it deduces that it was done by...
That's a big word.
Was done by impotent rage attacking her womanhood.
It was done by impotent rage attacking her womanhood. Like that, because it was a Russian lady, wasn't it? By the way, that prostitute, right? Mm-hmm. What did she have on? Did you notice she had, like, the prostitute
blue
outfit on? The uniform of all prostitutes the world over. Thigh-length leather booties.
And she got something blue on.
Oh, just you. Blue. You would just notice, like, there's a smashing dress
you've got on. A smashing blouse.
That's a lovely blouse you've got on, darling. By the way, are you a prostitute? I quite fancy blue job. Yeah, no, sorry. As you can see, I have stilettos on. I haven't got leather thigh-length boots on. I'm actually Kate Middleton, member of the royal family, so no... No, I can't give you a blowjob. No, you have to look for the thigh. That's the... If you see a woman with thigh-length leather boots on, you are going to be $50 down.
Okay.
I haven't got any thigh-length.
I'll watch out the next time.
Have you ever worn lady's boots?
Thigh-high boots, no.
Yeah. Have you ever worn lady's shoes?
No. I've worn boots and a spur, as I mentioned in an episode on Kate's Pictures.
No, I mean ladies... boots. That's something you could do later then.
Is it? What, put boots on and be a prostitute?
Do you wanna play that? Do you?
I might get murdered by somebody.
Yeah, me, I can do a Russian accent.
But then we see the ultimate Russian in Marshall pop off with his tanks and his guns firing.
Oh, amazing. Those tanks, when one exploded and fireworks came out of it. Did you notice?
It was almost a Catherine wheel at one stage. It was. I was expecting those... What were they called in this? Those zigzags. It was like, yeah, nice firework display.
Oh.
But he was so calm and collected because all this mayhem's going on around him. Well, all these fireworks are going off. And he's having a big cigar and a drink of booze from a hip flask.
Yeah.
He was just casual about it. So then we go back into the space station and we see Conrad, Michael Paré, and Yuri, the Russian who was on there. And because the shuttle has smashed into the space station, Michael Paré's a bit pissed off because he can't do his experiment because, you know, the space station is a bit fucked up at the moment. When's my room going to be fixed? You know, my lab room, and I can do the experiments. And then Yuri just like, what I'm guessing was supposed to be a dramatic pause by the actor, but just looked like he'd forgotten his lines. And then moved him this like empty glass and poured him a drink and said it was vodka, Russian vodka, yeah, of course. And then said, oh yeah, we'll get it fixed by tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but there's a lot of scenes all the way through this that are like 20 to 30 seconds each,
mm,
and totally pointless.
Yeah, yeah. With lots of gaps as, yeah, well. Like, they don't say anything to you. They just, no, sort of look at each other,
it,
don't
it must
they?
Be to, like, to fill out the running time.
Yeah,
it
could be.
Otherwise, why do it? Because there's so many.
Because he didn't care at that point, yeah, and it was shit, maybe.
So another sort of what could be construed as sort of borderline racist.
Yeah.
Because then still on the space station, we've got Max, who is offered some jellied eel. I think it's, if I remember rightly, it's Yuri again who says, try this jellied eel.
Do the accent.
And then
do it,
Max.
Do it, say it in Russian.
Then Max.
Say it in Russian.
No, there's no W's in
it. We want some jellied eel. Oh, that, what accent was that?
The typical Russian dish of jellied, yeah, eel.
I thought they ate borscht and cabbage in Russia.
Yeah, jelly deal's more fucking Cockney, wasn't it? If it had been Phil Mitchell on there from EastEnders, offering, yeah, have some fucking,
yeah,
jelly deal.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. Oh, and, I don't think Phil Mitchell uses the C word.
Yeah, there's lots of vodka there.
Yes, he does. So he could have played, right, there, yeah.
But Max says, I bet it tastes like chicken.
Have you ever had jelly deal?
No. Mm. But I bet it doesn't taste like chicken.
Why is that racist?
Well, you're thinking because he's a person,
yeah,
of colour.
Colour that
all
they
eat is fried chicken.
Is fried chicken.
So it's that kind of,
yeah,
stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then this is where it gets really confusing because it goes back down to Earth and you find out that one of the four people that is on the space station has been programmed to slow down the Tesla and drop it onto LA.
Mm.
Hence, killing, I think they said 750,000 people, mm, minimum.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to burn up, it's going to,
yeah,
split into pieces, it's going to drop on LA,
yeah,
and it's going to be like...
They don't say how they know that, though.
No, they don't, but that's not...
And I wasn't clear when they kept going back to Moscow, to the space centre control, if it was America or not, because some of the people just talk normally in American accents and other ones are talking in the Russian accent, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm the commander of the space station.
But because they've said that's going to happen and they know about it, so their contingency plan is to fire a missile at the Tesla and,
yeah,
blow it up before it
before
can drop
it
on LA
it.
And kill,
yeah,
loads of people.
Yeah.
So they fire it at the Tesla. Then they panic when they fired it and go, does anybody know we fired it? Can anybody track us? They've not looked into it before. And then somebody says, well, we think the Americans and the Chinese are tracking it. We're not sure. So then they say, but do they know what we're firing at? It's like, what? What else is up there that they're going to fire at? So they panic even more and go, shit, we might have been found out. And American and maybe China know that we're going to shoot down the Tesla. We need to destroy it before anybody finds out. So a satellite destroys it with a laser beam.
Yeah. Like that. Very Gerry
this
Anderson.
This has all happened within the first 22 minutes.
Yeah. I was exhausted by this point and had a small sleep round about there.
So if you missed, you'd have missed this next scene then if you had the small sleep, because Yuri and... Renee have a bit of a shag where she keeps a brassiere on.
See, now I didn't miss that bit because, you know, I like the sex scenes, don't I? And I thought he was actually bumming her at one point.
Why would he?
because he was like, duh, 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 and he was like grabbing all the verge, kept a bra on.
He was
on,
singing
though.
A song and grabbing
her. He was going, yeah.
Duh, 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 duh. This is my bumming song. I always do this. Every woman that's ever,
yeah,
been with Yuri,
yeah,
as soon as she hears that tune kicking out from him, her buttocks clench.
I'm going to get him da, da, da.
Oh my God. He's reaching for the lube.
Oh, I don't think Russians use lube, do they?
Vodka. Yeah, just because vodka.
Because he was sort of lying down, and somebody, the way we saw it, was somebody was watching them from behind a little grill, weren't they? In the floor. Well, sort of in the wall, but near the floor. So I was sort of hoping that there would be a midget loose on the spaceship. But it could be possible, couldn't it, that it's all red herrings, that there's a murderer on board, when in fact there is a murderer that nobody knows about, and there's like this little midget there watching him shag. But the reason I said I thought he was bumming her is because, like, he's lying on his bunk like this, and she's like being spooned by him, and he's like thrusting, and she's going oh, and he's going
my bumming song,
I'm gonna bum you, baby. And
that was the giveaway.
He got his pants on and she got her pants on.
Yeah.
So obviously it was a pull him to the side job.
Ah.
You know, because like he got
and he got his widge out of his zip.
He got his widge out of the little hole that men wee through, out of the Y front bit, and she just like pulled the pants to one side. I don't know if you could do that, be bummed with pants to one side. And I need to think about it.
We'll have a think about it. We'll come back to that later.
Sorry, I'm just going, I'm going to bum you.
So, as the bumming was happening,
yeah,
back down on Earth, the team were trying to figure out how they can fix the space station, like we said, the shuttle's ploughed into and it's all in pieces. How can we do it? A bit like Apollo 13, you know, when they've got the team back down on Earth and go, how can we fix the air filters and all of this kind of stuff, using all different stuff.
Yeah, it was a good film, that was it. It was a good film. It was. Now, here you go, Dave, right? Mm. The film we've just watched was a bad film, but Apollo 13 was a
Apollo 13 didn't have a bumming song. This is what you get. For your 25p from CEX, you're getting gold like that.
Okay.
So then, for some reason, we go back to this prostitute that has been murdered. And again, they sort of reiterate that she's been murdered by a member of the Tesla team.
Yeah.
But you still don't know who. It's a bit of a guessing game, even though it's quite...
Oh, you forgot to say how they know it's a member of the Tesla
team.
Oh,
go on then.
They find clutched in her hand a badge, don't they? and he pries it, the horrible cop that's always smoking and drinking, pries it out of her little stiff hand while he's gently caressing her thigh-length boots.
And it's the Blue Peter badge.
It's the Blue Peter badge for bumming.
But it wasn't Yuri.
It wasn't Yuri.
It wasn't Blue Peter Russia.
Yuri might have bombed her while he was on Earth.
He could have done.
Because it was Russia, and he was Russian.
I don't think they'd have shown that on Blue Peter, though.
Have they got Blue Peter in Russia?
I don't know. I think as far as Blue Peter went, it was like elephant having a shit on the floor was about as extreme as they went.
Well, in Britain, yeah, but you know,
Russia,
you don't know in
not.
Other...
Mm. So then it keeps flip-flopping. We've gone from Earth and we're back on the space station, and you've got Max, who's making an advert for this soda and dancing.
Like that. Oh,
here you go again.
Yeah.
Another sort of racist, maybe, because Conrad appears... Comes in, pissed off, switches off the music and says, it's outrageous that we have to listen to your jungle music. Jungle music.
Yeah, it's not on
it's
that.
Again, it's...
Anybody think bloody... What's his name? Sorry.
Who?
Quentin Tarantino had directed this.
Maybe it was an influence. So they start kicking off a little bit, but Yuri comes in and breaks up the fight. Again, another reoccurring theme all the way through this. I think there's a minimum of 5 fight scenes.
Scuffles.
But that's the thing, the scuffles, they're not fight scenes.
Yeah.
I think the longest they last is like 10 seconds.
Yeah. And they all involve Michael Parry grabbing somebody in a headlock and smashing their head into the nearest console.
Yeah, because he's very angry.
He's very angry. He's never bummed anybody. He's never sang the bumming song.
The bumming song. Back on Earth, there we go again.
I don't want to
Earth,
go back on
space station yeah. Earth, so we're back on Earth, and like we said, when after we'd watched the trailer, something we picked up on, you've got all these like world leaders, but we don't know who
they
are or where they're from, and they're sat in complete darkness.
Yeah. You could recognise a few of them, though. As you remember, number one, Mikhail Gorbachev having a poo.
Yeah. Another one, and this was quite distracting for me, but you wouldn't have noticed at all. One was a double for Peyton Manning, ex-NFL quarterback and current Super Bowl winner with the Denver Broncos. Although he's now left them. So anybody in America or fans of the NFL that watch this,
watch out
for Peyton Manning as a world leader.
The woman looked like Doc Cotton out of EastEnders.
Oh, that would be scary. See, it could have been the EastEnders. We've already mentioned
you
Phil Mitchell.
You could remake it
as EastEnders.
Because another one of them looked like Barry off EastEnders.
Oh, there you go. We could go through the whole history of...
Or Barry off Extras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. EastEnders in space. That's the way it could go.
With bumming. Phil Mitchell bumming Doc Cotton.
In space. It's just about to be moving the pants to one side and then you get boom, 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 boom as the end of the episode. Always ends on the cliffhanger.
Oh, can you imagine bumming Doc Cotton? She's about 85. Ooh, no. Ooh, she'd be hanging, wouldn't she?
You'd need lots of vodka before that.
You need lots of bloody lube to get it up there and some sort of vice contraption to open her legs.
Ooh.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? She'd probably have, like, really rickety hips, wouldn't she? You'd have to,
rickety hips?
Yeah.
That sounds like some sort of, I don't know, country and western band. Rickety hips. Here's the latest song by Rickety Hips.
Country roll.
Bumming in space.
Bumming in space.
By Rickety Hips.
I got bummed up my bum.
So.
Didn't have any lube.
What's going to happen now, because we've been on Earth? Where's the next scene going to be? Obviously, we're back on the space station again. But we're not on the space station. We're outside of it. Because Conrad and Yuri have gone outside. They've put on the spacesuits to fix all the damage. Now, remember, if we go back to the start and we said that the shuttle like ploughed into it, bits were flying everywhere.
Yeah. Michael Parry can't do any of his experiments and he really needs
to. Need to do,
it's all he goes on about.
His radioactive experiments.
Yeah.
So, and as I mentioned earlier, Earth has been working on how can they fix it. So they figured out, we've got the perfect way to fix it, is the cans of the soda that Max has been advertising.
Yeah,
we can use those. So
they
all
fix
of
it.
The damage just boils down to this one small hole where they stick on one can of this soda.
Yeah, but they've opened the can and ironed it, haven't they?
That's the extent of the damage that can be fixed with
one can
of soda.
And a bit of glue.
Yeah.
Or it might have been blue tack.
Yeah. So, Conrad, Michael Paré, then loses his shit a little bit again. He's got another opened can of that soda that's, you know, spare metal. And is sharp, obviously. And cuts Yuri's space.
Why does he do that, though?
Because he's been programmed to do it.
To cut Yuri's space.
He's mad, isn't he?
Yeah.
He wants to kill loads of people on Earth. He wants to have the Tesla plummet into Earth and kill all these people in LA.
Why?
I don't know.
Do we ever find out?
No.
Oh.
One of the main plot points. And you never find out what's going to happen.
You've got to admit, though, this part of the film is quite amazing and is actually on a par with Gravity.
Yeah,
For the special effects.
This being shown in IMAX.
Yeah,
if it hadn't just gone direct to video.
Yeah, I was actually weeping at one point.
Well, especially when, because Yuri has had his spacesuit cut and he dies.
Yeah.
He's just left there.
They just leave him.
Circling the space station slowly.
Yeah, well, not even circling, just sort of hanging there.
By a window.
Almost like he's on a wire of some sort, really. Yeah. Amazing effects, though.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Not as amazing as the piece of acting that follows it from Lisa Bingley as Renee, where she laments all about her relationship with Yuri.
She really loved him.
Yeah. This was the bit that got quite emotional.
Yeah, I was.
This is the bit where.
It was so emotionally wooden, wasn't it?
It was.
We were going to move in together. And then that black dude sort of like ooh, he doesn't know whether or not to cup her boobs from or behind,
yeah.
grab her ass,
or move her pants to one side.
Or move her pants to, because obviously she likes
it. Well, she's known for that, yeah. that's, you know, what she's up yeah. for. But he didn't sing the song, so he was in with no chance, was he?
What kind of a song would he it sing would be, then?
I don't know. Well, considering all the racist sort of stuff has gone on, it'd probably be like the Countdown Races or something like that. Going with the theme as what's happened before.
Yeah, but he changed the lyrics, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I want to bum you up your ass, do-da, do-da. I've got no loop, but I can spin on my hand all the do-da-day.
That would be it. That would carry on with what's happened before.
Yeah.
But then this, a fight breaks out, another, here you go, another, no, scuffle.
Scuffle.
Sorry. Because Conrad, Michael Parry, appears, and he starts fighting Max, but René breaks it up.
Yeah. That's when he's really smashing his head in the console well, this, as well,
isn't
it?
My next note is Parry's going crazy.
Yeah.
He's going absolutely batshit crazy. Then we come to a very special part of the film. We are now at 43 minutes, 22 seconds oh, into
I'll
the movie.
I'll let you talk about this,
and what
I?
Happens.
Yeah.
Boobs. See, Bodie knew.
Yeah, Bodie knew. Bodie said, boobs.
Boobs. Yeah, we get our first and only look at boobs.
Why did she keep her pants and bra on
during
when
the
she
sex
was,
scene?
When she was having a bum.
Mm-hmm. But then
the
when she just goes to bed by yeah. herself...
Yeah. She takes her... yeah.
She takes her
why is that then?
It's because she got paid the extra $50 for that scene.
But why wouldn't she take her bra off for her boyfriend
mm-hmm.
so he could glory in her wonderful orbs of delight?
Mm-hmm.
Even though one was a lot bigger than the other one. Did you notice
no,
that?
No, I didn't notice
yeah,
that.
One was, well, I'd say one was a B cup
mm-hmm.
and the other one was a G cup. Because one was like up there and pert. She had those triangle boobs, didn't she? Where they were like pointy.
What, like Lara Croft in a PlayStation 1 game?
I don't know what Lara Croft's
very
boobs.
Pointy and triangular.
Were they? Yeah, yeah, probably like that then.
So.
So.
After boobage.
You didn't dwell on the boobs. I thought you'd sort of discuss them a bit more, like the, you know, the nipple.
No, like Bodie's in the background. We shall try to ignore him, and hopefully he's just got too excited about the boob talk. So, yes, Michael Parry, knife practice.
That was scary, though, wasn't yeah. it, really?
But then you see he's obsessed with his knife. This is when you find out that he's obsessed with his
obsessed,
knife.
Obsessed with it, yeah.
yeah.
Is that because he wasn't breastfed?
Maybe so. Do you think that's a normal thing?
I don't know. Were you breastfed?
I can't remember. Can't no, you? I don't think so.
No. Because no. you're a bit obsessed with knives. Oh, no, sorry, Kiss, you're obsessed with, aren't you? And Rambo.
Yeah, but that's he's got, like, knives. So with the Rambo
he has
knife.
Got a big knife, hasn't he? Yeah. I always thought that was, like, a penis substitute, though. Yeah. And that, in
although
fact,
I'm sure that Rambo could kill people with his penis, if need be.
Do you think so?
I reckon so.
Would he stab them with it?
No, he just hit them so hard around the side of the face that they get concussion.
Right. Is this like with an erection or without?
No, no, he doesn't even need to. That just be wasting
so he's
time.
Got like a limp penile.
Yeah.
And he just like, whoosh, like that, and they slap
and
you and kill
out.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Deadly.
It's quite big then, is it? Do you think in
be.
Your he's, mind?
He just knows how to use it. It doesn't need to be big.
So he'd leap up in the air, whip his pants down quick and smack you across the head with
maybe
his dick.
Maybe he would catch you asleep as you were laying
wouldn't
down.
Wouldn't that be teabagging then?
Well, no, teabagging, was there would be no balls involved.
It'd well, of
be...
course there'd be balls involved. You can't
Rambo,
hit somebody.
Rambo killing somebody by whapping his cock across
Dave,
the face does not involve
Dave,
Rambo's
yes, it does.
Testicles.
It does. Well, all right, then. All right, then. Right. So say... Rambo was by us right now.
With his cock out.
With his cock out, and he's going to hit you across the face.
So I would know I was going to die.
So you would pass out. Now, where are the balls while the cock's swinging?
Well, he's not going to teabag me. Teabagging would be like if I was on the floor and he was dipping onto me like a teabag.
Yeah,
that's
all
why
right,
it's
then.
Called teabagging.
All right, then you're asleep on the floor and he's going to render you unconscious with his cock.
Yes.
So he'd have to kneel down, wouldn't he? He'd have to. And hit you across the head.
You're putting far too much thought into this.
With his dick. where would his balls be?
Underneath.
Exactly. So as he swung his cock, his balls would follow them. So you'd like end up with the cock like that across your face and the balls in your mouth.
Not necessarily. He knows how to handle himself. He's a professional.
You'd suck them as well.
Bloody.
You would.
Stop it.
I don't think I can concentrate now because I'm thinking about where his balls.
We're getting close to the end of the movie. Keep it going. You're fine. Forget Rambo's cock for now. Because, well, he says, trying desperately to drag this back on course and losing his place in his notes. Yes, René is communicating with Earth and saying, oh, things are going a bit wrong up here. So Michael Paré interrupts her and said, you know, what are you doing? Pulls a few leads out of the cheap set. Very
pissed
off.
Oh, did you think that was cheap? I thought they were really, yeah.
Oh, keep in mind, right, cheap set for when we get closer to the end of the movie, because I've got one particular point to do with the set, right?
Okay.
So keep that in mind. So, René runs off. Is it to an escape pod that she goes into, or is it just a separate part of the space station where she locks herself in and she's looking through?
Because as she runs, she grabs things and throws them into this pod, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Or corridor. I thought the thing she was grabbing, like a spacesuit.
Or an airlock.
That she was, yeah, into an airlock that led to the space shuttle, I thought.
Yeah.
But having, you know, as it carried on with her locking herself in and then he switches her air supply off, it was just, I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it was just weird. A room.
But then, no matter what it was, if it was like a room or an escape pod or, you know, an airlock or whatever, she obviously thinks that she's safe.
Mm.
So how can he then go, oh, all right, I'm going to turn the oxygen off in there? If it was that sort of safe room, he wouldn't have the ability to do that, would he?
Turned out that it was an airlock because she gets out of it, doesn't she? And goes outside onto
the
spaceship.
Yeah, because she puts
air anyway.
Yeah, and she was going to put on... She'd got a spacesuit in there with oxygen, so he never really...
This is such a stupid
film,
did he?
But this is where Michael Paré goes into absolute madness. And,
amazing acting.
Acting where he goes crazy. So René gets in the spacesuit, leaves the Tesla. So Michael Paré then takes control of what I can only describe as like when you're in at the seaside in the fun fair and you've got one of those grabbers where you're trying to grab soft toys. And he's trying to grab her. But much like the grabbers at the fun fairs and that is fixed and you never grab what you want to grab anyway.
He
can't get anywhere near her.
Yeah, he did.
But Earth overrides the controls to it, so we can't grab her.
Yeah, he does grab her.
Yeah.
And he hangs her upside down.
Oh, I must have missed that bit while I was writing my notes.
Yeah, he's going like this and he keeps missing her. It's like the alien's jaws coming out. He keeps missing her and then he grabs her.
Ah.
And it's like a model and you can see her legs go like that. And he picks her up and she's hanging upside down
by
her ankles.
So this must have been after I'd finished writing this when I looked up and it cut to Earth who have then overridden it and taken control.
Yeah.
Okay. So René gets back on board. Michael Paré gets his knife again.
Mm.
And I think he talks to it again at this point.
Yeah.
This is, and you pointed out, doesn't matter what he says because Michael Paré, like picture this everybody, Michael Paré's got this really big knife.
Yeah.
You know that he's batshit bonkers.
Yeah.
René is on board and fearing for her life and running around and going, oh my God, what can I do to survive? René now has changed out of her spacesuit and is wearing this bright orange jumpsuit. Tina, where does René hide?
Just sort of on the floor.
Behind
a grill that you can see straight through very easily.
It's like...
And he still doesn't see her. He walks past her and she's like a massive tomato sitting
there. It's like, imagine like a chain link fence where it's thin bits of wire, isn't it, crisscrossed, with big gaps in the middle. And she, of all places on the space station, thinks, is this a safe place to hide while I'm wearing a bright orange jumpsuit?
Mm.
Not the sharpest tool in the box, is she?
She's like a plank with tits.
Right, Michael Paré, now we know he's gone batshit bonkers. So he goes to Max, who has been lying unconscious. He cuts Max's oxygen supply.
Oh, yeah, you forgot to mention that during the fight with Max, after he was playing his jungle music, he knocks him out.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't.
And he's unconscious.
Yeah, which is why he hasn't appeared much during this film. Yuri's gone. It's just basically Conrad and René. So he cuts Max's oxygen, threatens to slice him. So he's shouting out so that René hears all the time, I'm going to slice him.
It's a bit homoerotic.
Well, yeah,
this bit,
because he's saying, he opens his shirt up, his jumpsuit up.
Yeah, but he doesn't just open his jumpsuit. He unzips it very slowly all the way down to his genitals.
Well, he has to for what he's going to say in a minute.
Yeah.
Because he cuts his T-shirt. Then he's shouting out to René, oh, what bit should I cut first? Oh, it's such a shame. You know, I can see your attraction to him. And then he says, I'm going to separate Max from his greatest asset.
The black gift.
Yes. Samurai cop style. The black gift would be no more. He's going to cut it off. So René appears, tells him, you need to calm down. Yeah. You've been a very naughty boy. Calm
being
down.
A very naughty boy.
Yes.
And this isn't a syringe full of knockout juice I've got hidden behind my back.
Yes. I've got one hand behind my back with this hypodermic that I'm going to inject you
it
with.
It looked like the needle out of Reanimator,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it is. Massive.
Yeah.
So then she injects him and it doesn't work immediately and there's a chase and another scuffle. But at this scuffle...
Does he cry? Is this the bit where he cries and all the snot comes out?
Oh, I don't know.
He does the one bit where he's going, oh, where are you, René? And he's crying, and there's all snot coming out of his nose. It's disgusting.
Well, this scuffle, René turns into like a mini ninja because out of nowhere she does all these like...
Well, mini being, yeah, because she only kicks him once.
Yeah, but that's all he needs. It's like a roundhouse kick. Yeah. Shuttle. Runs to the shuttle. René and Max run to the shuttle. Max has suddenly become conscious. René and Max get into the shuttle to escape. But Michael Paré overrides the shuttle from inside the Tesla so they can't escape.
And what does he shout out?
Or what does he shout out?
He's going crazy, isn't he? And he says, yes, get back to your cats!
You thought he said back to your cats. Get back to your chaos.
He says cats.
It would be better if it was cats, you were right.
Get back to your little pussies.
So now the whole plan he's got going of making the Tesla fall through the atmosphere, split into pieces and destroy
LA.
I
think I really was asleep by now.
It's happening now. The Tesla is plummeting through the atmosphere and it's starting to burn up.
How did he make that happen?
He pressed a few little buttons. Then you see him after he's done it. He's sat there with his knife to his throat.
Mm.
As though he's going to kill himself. Then more scene, which, to be fair, even though the effects were really shit in this, the one effect that was half decent is where the Tesla's like plummeting down and it's on fire. Was passable. You've got to give it that.
It wasn't. Yeah. No,
but what
it
does,
wasn't.
Yeah, but so you see it, and it is chaos outside because it's plummeting through the atmosphere. It's all on flames everywhere and it's going mental. It's cutting into inside and you see everybody inside. There's a little bit of smoke and everything's calm while the whole place is plummeting through the atmosphere. It was a bit weird. Another scuffle. Because this time, René and Michael Paré are having another fight.
Yeah.
Which Max breaks up. Then... The computer won't... This is where I've got to rely on my notes. Computer won't reboot manually. So they have to do it manually. Right, this is the one where I was on about the cheap set. Right? René, and this is a very important thing that the whole space station relies on, right? If the computer system goes down and you manually have to reboot the whole computer system on this Tesla space station... What would you do? You know what it boiled down to? Do you remember when you were a kid and like you'd go to your nan's or your granddad's and there would be the light switch that was like a round piece of wood And the switch was this little thin bit of metal with like a round end on it, and you flick it up.
Yeah.
It was one of them switches.
Yeah.
From like the 1950s. It was like early 1950s electrical switch.
Yeah.
That's what the whole space station relied on to reboot itself.
It is Russian, remember?
True, yeah. I guess that was state of the art for them. So then we see the Tesla is plummeted. The shuttle escapes from the Tesla with Max and Rene on board. Michael Perret's still on the Tesla.
It's tied up.
Tied up. But it explodes, which we were told at the very start of the movie, this is what they wanted to avoid, because it would explode over LA and a minimum of 750,000 people would be killed. So it explodes and goes into bits. Doesn't kill anyone. No bits fall to earth. What? Why?
I thought that a bit of it would fall to earth and Michael Parry would still be alive in it.
Yeah,
because he was an android.
Because the shuttle with Max and Rene in it land in Siberia, they survive, and then that's it.
That's the end.
And like we said at the start, it cuts to the title sequence from the beginning, but played in reverse.
So why did he kill prostitutes?
I don't know.
Why was he American, but he was a Russian astronaut?
I don't know. Why didn't the Tesla exploding kill all the hundreds of thousands of people that they said it was going
to? Why would that land in LA, but the shuttle would land in Siberia?
I don't know.
Oh. Why were all the Russian scientists half Russian and half American? And why was a man selling coke on the space station?
Yeah.
With jungle music?
And why does Yuri have to sing his bumming song?
Yeah.
We don't know. There's so many questions unanswered.
So many unanswered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate you for making me watch that. That's an hour and a half of my life again that I won't get back.
Maybe it's about 80 minutes.
I feel a bit sick, though.
Has that warmed you up now, ready for Independence Day now that we're going to watch, and then the Independence Day sequel tomorrow?
I don't know. I think I need more alcohol, really. Cheers, darling.
Cheers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go. My second pick from my shelves.
Don't you think that I should get to pick one?
No.
That's not fair, though.
It is. It's the whole point of these shows.
How about if I pick one, but they're out of your shit films?
What do you mean, my shit films?
They're shit! Look at them. We're sitting here now. Look at this. Millions of them. Let me read some of the titles.
I can read them out now. I'll have to lean. Ultimate Ninja.
Yeah.
The Sender. Steel Law.
I can see one called Spiders. Does that say Arse Assassins?
No.
Sure. The Stink of Flesh.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to come next.
Well, it won't be a bumming because you're not singing the song. Sing the song.
No.
How does the Welsh bumming song go?
I don't know. But again, it would have no vowels in it.
It probably goes, go bum your bum.
Like that. Because it's Welsh.
When are you going to make me watch more shit then? Can I have a couple of months off now?
Maybe. It's been a few months since the last one.
Yeah.
So
can I have like 6 months off?
Yeah. Well, I think it's been 6 months since the last one. So, yeah. Just occasionally we'll get one out there. Anyway, if anybody listening to this has seen Space Fury, let us know.
They won't, though, because they're too idle. You know what people online like? You say, I've got a competition and you could win a do-do-do. All you have to do is tweet something and then tumbleweeds. Do you know why?
Because only one person listens to us. That's why.
It's only Frederick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Nobody else.
Yeah, nobody else.
And Sean.
Shawnee?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it, really.
There's a few. We might hit double figures. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so.
No.
So you might hit double figures if you pop Tina Talks About the Bumming Song, and then all the men will think, oh, I need to learn the bumming song, and then go out at the weekend and sort of sidle up to sexy young ladies with thigh-high boots on and go...
move their pants to one side
and
sing the bumming song.
And they'll go, oh, you know the bumming song. You want to come back to my place for a bum?
You cad.
Oh, darling. Gin? No, I only drink sherry.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's a good night from you now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've got to give the details. So people, because more reviews went up on the website recently.
Yeah.
So go to, the website is, there's some homework for you. What's the website?
www. www.60minuteswith.co.uk.
Where there is a contact us form if you want to send us a message, or you can email us direct at
Lovely Tina. No, that's not true. You can email us direct at contact@60minuteswith.co.uk.
You can. You can follow us on Facebook at
Do you know the bumming song?
Facebook.com/doyouknowthebummingsong.
Facebook.com. Oh, I slurred then. Oh my god.
You pissed.
Oh dear, I've only had one glass of wine.
I shall get you another one in a minute.
Thank you.
I shall fetch it in.
Can I have a pint of sherry? Facebook.com/60minuteswith.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at
at 60 minutes with.
Yes. So now people know.
How can people follow you, Dave, on Twitter?
At 60 minutes with.
You can't follow Dave on Twitter because he's a very, very private person.
Yes. But you can follow Tina if you want to on Twitter.
Yes.
At Spanky Spangler.
Yes.
Two E's.
Two E's. And an
er. An er at the end.
And an er at the end. And if you're very lucky and ask me nicely, I'll tell you the lyrics to the bumming song.
In Welsh.
In English.
Oh, my God.
They're terribly rude.
And with that, let's go and watch Independence Day.
Yay! Hey, bye.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Randy Quaid! In a caravan.
Oh my god. Here we go then.
Woohoo!
Right. Cheerio.
Cheerio!